podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, it's episode 201 of Gig Pod, and we're here at magical Molly Malone's to react to Celtic 1, Motherwell 1, and be prepared everybody, because apparently Rizzo's wanting to rant. John, have you calmed down now, since we're now still 8 points clear, or are you still in a huff after Saturday's result?
Still in a huff, I was freezing on Saturday. I'll talk more about myself later, but hello everybody, hello Stevie, and yes, good old Molly Malone's, it's a bit quieter than it, quite as a Monday, no doubt. People waiting to spend loads in this great pub during Christmas, but yep, thanks to them as ever for their great hospitality.
Speaking of hospitality, John, Saturday, I mean, I get a chance of a spare through my grander. He asked me, is there anybody you know that would take it? Because, of course, I'm not going to miss a game against Motherwell at home, John.
No, never.
Mr. Celtic and all that. So I thought, yeah, do you know what? I think Rizzo would quite enjoy that. Although I did make the mistake of remembering the Premier was on Saturday. Liverpool were playing Man City at the Etihad. And yes, you were more interested in that initially before I shamed you into taking the ticket.
I did knock it back initially when you phoned me. But then a couple of minutes later, I thought, okay, I'll just take this ticket. I'll be a great guy.
It's not worth the hassle.
No, it's not worth the hassle. It was a free ticket, and I do love freebies, of course. Who doesn't? No, I decided to take it, but then I had an adventure getting to the game as well, if I want to talk about that.
It was actually near Molly Malone's where you had to get off, wasn't it, because of roadworks?
There was roadworks on Saturday, and I had to get off at Citizen M, another great venue. And I had to run, would you believe? Actually, me, if anybody knows me, I know I'm not the most svelte individual. I actually ran most of the way down to the Argyll Street train station.
So you go to the game via the hospital then, aye?
Aye. I had to get a hold of oxygen, I mean, IV drips and stuff. So I went and get the train to Dumarnock. And then walked up and met your granda with like 10 minutes to spare. And ended up missing the first couple of minutes of the game because there was a huge queue.
Weirdly. Can you imagine me if I missed a couple of minutes of the game?
No. I mean, but your granda's sensible though. He doesn't like to go in until like just before kickoff.
Oh, I was in there about 20 past two or something. I know. But here's one for you. Do you know what I was doing when I got in?
What?
I watched the Premier.
There you go, you hypocrite.
I know. There was nothing else to do when I got in at 20 past two.
See, I can't believe you say like I've got Sky now.
What, that money in the bank, brother?
There you go. Great pay-per-view.
Can you keep up? See, you see M Punk coming back? Is that the equivalent of like Lennon coming back next season or something?
Well, no, he hasn't been in WWE since like 2013. So, no, he was in AEW, who they're the other wrestling guys, and they done a show at Wembley Stadium. Somebody we know went to it. It was like 80,000 sold out, Wembley Stadium. And but he fell out with the owner who owns Fulham too.
Is that an Al Fayed guy?
No, Tony Khan.
Wait, Al Fayed, he's dead, isn't he?
Aye, now Tony Khan, whose dad owns Fulham, he runs like this other wrestling company as well. And CM Punk left that to go back to WWE. Well, that's enough. Enough wrestling talk.
Do I just talk about wrestling instead of football?
What football?
Well, so you got your free ticket. We're grateful you get into the game. And hey, it was a good view, wasn't it?
It was in the halfway line. I mean, usually when I buy tickets for games, it's at the last minute. In fact, I actually texted you to say Celtic had actually put tickets for sale on the Thursday, I think it was. But then I says to you, oh, I'm not watching that. I'm going to watch Man City.
No. What it was you said, I'm not paying £30 for that.
That was that as well. £30 was ridiculous.
But I mean, you genuinely would have been more up for watching Man City Liverpool.
Actually, I was going to go and watch the Celtic game by legal means, of course. But no, because I paid £30 to watch Celtic St. Johnson, which was a stinking game. So we've drew twice at home this season. I've been at both of them. And I didn't see 1 minute the other one against Hibs, thankfully. Actually, I want to talk, when we get to the end of the game, I want to ask you about that. But...
All right, well, listen, let's talk about the football and no wrestling. Because before the game, you did a Rizzo selects. You did get one position right, but you get everything else wrong, John.
Well, no, I mean, it was most of the team I picked, but I thought Anthony Ralston would start, and unfortunately he did. But then I thought if Phillips would start as well. I thought CCV might get a break, because he'd been playing for America, obviously, but he started. The other one was, what was the other one again? I predicted, I forgot. That's
James it. Forrest.
James, I thought James Forrest would come in for Palmer. I think it was Palmer or Yang, because I thought it would be Palmer because Palmer was suspended, obviously. But James Forrest was injured. Broad said to you after the game, James Forrest will probably starting for us against Lazio tomorrow, so.
What a position to be in.
I mean, it's a bit unlucky because of stupid suspensions, but it's also us being idiots. But no, I mean, I had an inkling that Ralston would start, but I mean, no disrespect to Ralston, because, I mean, he was a cult hero on this podcast, even, once upon a time. He's not very good. But in fact, he wasn't nearly Celtic's worst fullback Saturday. The other fullback was a lot worse. We'll talk about him later.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just talk about the game, and I guess maybe after the first 25 minutes, you knew how that was going to go, didn't
you? Well, no,
you?
I mean, I was a couple of minutes late. I sat down in my seat with that chance, actually created by Greg Taylor, when O'Reilly's shot was saved. And then they had a chance that Joe Hart had done a good save. So really, we only had two chances. And I mean, that header was really only a half chance, because, I mean, it was about a fluke one. But no, we just passed the ball from side to side. Didn't really create anything. Motherwell had loads of players behind the ball, and I seen people greeting about that, but it worked for them. That's their prerogative. What if they should, if I was Celtic, I'd love us to be in Europe. I mean, people were ripping their knitting. Liam Kelly taking forever at the goal kicks. We should be doing that in Europe every difficult away game, but we don't. Joe Hart, when you think about doing that, he'd jump with his eyes closed instead. I mean, people were moaning about Motherwell, but no, they had lost, I think, the last five or six games before this game. They were in atrocious form.
Some Celtic accounts were saying it was going to be a walkover and 4-0 to Celtic. Would definitely never be us or anything. No.
No, we didn't predict an easy win, no. Actually, I we'll talk about this more later, but we did meet each other at half time.
That was a highlight.
It was, because I was genuinely stunned with how bad we were. I mean, I was at the St Johnson game, but we drew, but maybe I was detached because I was sitting up the back. Obviously, I had a much better seat this time, thank you to your grander. So I could see the game a lot better. And we were just so boring.
Really? Oh, by the way, you met that guy?
Ian. A shout out to a fellow hardcore punk fan, Ian, who's a big fan of the pod, and he was a big fan of our Rewind series as well. So Ian, soon we'll have episode 3 coming out, because I know people have been ballistic.
Not only that, it's probably better talking about that season than this.
And that was more interesting than the game on Saturday, talking about like what happened in the old days. But yeah, we will have part 3 out soon, and shout out to Ian, who's a good guy. See you at the next hardcore gig. But no, I met you at half time, and what I say was I was just stunned by how boring we were.
I just yawned, like,
and that was before I was talking to you.
I just yawned constantly, like, over how bad
it was. Okay, I'm going to ask you this now, but I was going to ask you, what game was worse, that or Hibs? Don't forget, I missed Hibs because I was in London. I didn't see a second there, but you were texting me, you were going about how boring it was. What game was worse?
Probably Hibs, because
that at least had the incidents at the end.
Well, we at least had goals and we had something happening at least. Forrest hit the bar with a sitter, and O had a decent chance for what I remember. But 90% of that Hibs game was just boring side to side passing, and it was 1 mile an hour.
What, this game on Saturday?
Yeah, but at least we actually did score. Hibs, I didn't even think we'd be fly enough to dive and win a penalty. I think we could have at one point, but we didn't.
Right, so that's four games in the league we've played under Broge where it's been tedious, boring stuff. I mean, three draws in the league, and they were all boring games, and that terrible performance in the League Cup against Kelly.
You said four games in the league, yeah?
Sorry, three games in the league. Four games overall. We've been boring, basically, under Broge. I mean, the St Johnson game, the Hibs game, Motherwell. I suppose the Motherwell game was a bit exciting at the end, because, I mean, when do we get two penalties in a game? We're no Rangers, are we? Actually, maybe we are now. We've had more penalties than the end this season. And the League Cup against Kilmarnock was just a joke, and I don't know. I just don't know what to make of this Celtic team. I mean, the outliers that game at Ibrox, and of course a lot of that was to do with how stupid Rangers were that day. I mean, it was still an amazing win, and I got steaming after it, but actually no, other game was terrible. The first time we played Motherwell, Palmer scored, they get an equaliser, and Matt O'Reilly saved the day.
What I did say to you was, this season we're a Celtic side, we've only really seen one good 90 minutes, and that was against Hearts. Thought Hearts first and second half, yeah, we were on it and we were excellent in that game. Other than that, we've seen a good 45 minutes here, a good half hour there, but it was only the really standout performance has been against Hearts in the 4-1 win, and that was, what, in the mid-October?
Yep, and I actually told you that. See, if you count every game, every game we've played this like this season, like going by competition, like we're playing the league, then a couple of days later we're playing the League Cup, and then it's like the league in Europe. I think the most amount of games we've won in a row is, I think, two. So we've like won two games in the league, lost in Europe, and then like won another two games in the league. So like, I mean, we've won, I think we've won like six games in the league in total, but that's been broke up with bad results in Europe. So I mean, we're just no consistent at all. And last season, the thing about Ange's team was how ridiculously consistent we were. And I mean, I know we're unbeaten still, but the football's just not very good. Yeah.
Noticing it as well, like under Ange, when we get it, but when Joe Hart got the ball, we were in the opposition's half after like 2 seconds. You know, they would go out to CCV or we'd go out wide to a fullback. You know, within seconds, we are pressing, we're in the opposition's half, and we're playing in their half. But under Rodgers, Joe Hart will rush and they'll get the goal kick, and he'll play it out to like CCV or Liam Scales, but they'll just pass it to each other. It'll go out wide, it'll go to Callum McGregor, who will, out of habit now, is passing it back. And it just lets the other team regroup to the point we eventually do get in the half, but it's like a good 20, 30 seconds later. After that 0-0 draw against St Johnstone, I remember the state of us after it, because of course, you know, we weren't confident about the work that was going to be done in the transfer window ahead of Ibrox. Amazingly enough, the transfer window work has been shambolic and it's came back to bite us in games like that when you look at a bench. But of course, Ibrox did change everything for this side. At the same time, I mean, the drop-off in quality is so noticeable. You look at that bench, John, and the options on Saturday, and there was just nothing. Nothing at all. To the point where Tillywell came on, and this is a guy who, you know, has been out injured for most of the season, didn't even have a pre-season.
It was his first performance.
Threw him on desperately to try and salvage a game. It's like, it's a totally unfair position for that guy to be in.
No, and we're not making the most of Kyogo either. Kyogo's getting wasted in this team. I said it at the start of the season, I'm saying it now. I mean, you had that one brilliant moment on Saturday where he dropped to midfield and put the ball through that led to the first penalty. But he'd done nothing apart from that. He was crowded out, and he's the best striker in Scotland that we're not making the most of him. And I just really don't know what to make of this Celtic team. It's confusing. I suppose we better talk about the second half, and nothing happened until we got two penalties. Well, actually, that's a lie. Yang missed an absolute sitter when he headed past the post when it looked easier to score. But apart from that, we did nothing. Motherwell, loads of guys behind the ball. We couldn't break them down until Kyogo dropped into midfield and done that pass.
And here's one for you too. Liam Scales went down for a good like 8 or 9 minutes.
Mm.
And I'd noticed Celtic players were just standing about. It took like...
Joe Hart was like kicking into his own
net. That became the highlight. Joe Hart and the crowd were just having a laugh. And I was like looking at McGregor. I was looking at Yang. And I remember looking at Matt O'Reilly too, and they were just standing, walking about and talking, and I'm like,
a broad should have sort of made most of it, or McGregor.
They should have huddled the team in tactically and made a change, but they were all just standing, like looking about. And I'm not trying to say they should be taking away the importance of making sure Liam Scales is okay.
Aye.
I get that, but at the same time, warm up and show yourself to be doing something, but we're just walking about like all casual, and that was the type of performance it was. It was like a very laborious, stale, casual display.
It really was crap, basically. And, I mean, talking about crap, Palmer's penalty was so, so bad. I was worried when he done that run-up, when he took the penalty against Aberdeen, the Simone Zaza run-up, where he sort of runs on the spot before he hits it. And he did that on Saturday, and I had no confidence he would score when he done it, and Liam Kelly made the save. And apparently Broad said that he changed his mind with where he was going to take his penalty at the last minute.
Yeah, well, so in those press conferences that we do that are definitely not a complete waste of time and not absolutely boring like watching Celtic now. Sorry, but it's true. I might as well just get that out there. Brendan was saying that all week Palmer had been putting him at the goalkeeper's left, but he changed his mind at the last minute. And the weird thing is Liam Kelly said all week that if Celtic got a penalty and Palmer was going to hit it, he knew that and he knew where he was putting it. So
to the left,
he knew that he was going to put it, no, to his right.
Oh, to his right, aye.
Which was what he did. So he said that he watched Palmer as well for goals that he scored with his old team on a tape, and all his penalties were to the goalkeeper's right as well. But apparently Palmer had been putting them to the left. But it's just more disorganised chaos. Here's when I went to my granny's on Sunday when I dropped the wean off at our pals. And I got a good old paper for once.
I seen that. You sent me pictures of it.
I did. First paper I think I've read in years. I usually just should go to page 3. But they don't do that. They don't do page 3 anymore, don't they? No.
I think those days are gone.
I think the woke mob got to it. No, but even Callum McGregor was saying it's getting to the point where he might just have to put
Callum Tav McGregor.
Well, that's the thing. He'll be doing something in that case because that's Rangers true. Have got a captain that only does one thing, and that's take penalties. Maybe our captain will do the same because Callum McGregor said it's getting to the point maybe he'll have to put his hands up and start taking them. And fair play, it's a bit of leadership, but we've not seen any of that from McGregor the last few games, John, again on Saturday. Got to be careful what we say here, because no way are we taking away how good Callum McGregor is. I think he still is a very good footballer, but for Celtic in that system, I don't think we're making them. I think, in a way, we're ruining them in that system. After the COVID season, Callum McGregor had he was at a crossroads, shall we say.
His blazing squad once put it.
Great band. And I remember Andrew's style and Andrew's football had Cal McGregor a bit more deep line.
Yeah.
But the fullbacks tucking in really helped. You know, they made that midfield three go to a five. Then Cal McGregor could have more freedom in the park, a lot more time in the ball, and he was able to dictate the play more. He's not doing it in this Celtic team because in that three, alongside O'Reilly and alongside Home, I hate to repeat myself, but it's just so slow, unadventurous, unambitious. There's just nothing there. We've got to start seeing Timo Kerbata coming in and sitting deep now, John.
Well, I would agree that we're not getting the best out of McGregor, but I don't think McGregor deserves to start now. He's just playing so badly, and I was watching him a lot on Saturday because he had a lot of the ball, because I was sitting right on the halfway line at the touchline, and he commanded the ball a lot but didn't really do anything with it. And really, I said this in a group chat that you might be familiar with. That's an in-joke there. I mean, Breda's decision to start Home and McGregor was pitiful. I mean, that's football for the Stone Age. You don't have two holding midfielders at home against Motherwell. I mean, come on. And I think even Brendan realised that when he took Home off at half-time and brought on O. But then I thought Brendan's decision to take Kyogo off as soon as we missed a penalty
was in a game as well.
Was ridiculous as well.
Crazy.
With two strikers on to try and get the goal, we miss a penalty. But obviously we were in the ascendancy. And then he takes our best striker off. I really don't know what Brendan's thinking at times. I mean, I don't care what anybody says, he's no as good as Matt. I don't know if this is today with the like level of competition, because this season the league is crap. I'm sorry, but it is. Every team I think is poor, including this Celtic team. I know we're unbeaten, break out the cargo, but we're crap this season, domestically. So many poor results, so many poor performances, papering over the cracks. And I know we had a better team when Brendan was here the first time, but I think he was a better manager then. And even though he had that success at Leicester, winning the FA Cup, getting them in like top five or six, and I mean, winning the FA Cup for a team at Leicester still big, even though they won the league before that, I don't think he's as good a manager as he was then. I definitely think he's on. I mean, the only game I saw where it's the old Brendan was that one at Ibrox. I know that was to do, as you always say, Rangers being stupid, but that was still like, and the way an old Brendan's team would go, a depleted team go to Ibrox and win. But in Europe we've played decent, but I think I've seen people going about how good we've done in Europe. I think we were good against Athletic, and that's it.
First half,
but that's it. I think the rest is like third polish in the
Brendan extreme. Still made some players a lot better though.
Not that many.
No, I would say a handful.
I don't think he's anywhere near the manager that he was the first time. And like, in fact, that actually the first season, because he's second two seasons with performances like that as well, turgid ball and stuff. I know we're spoiled a bit by Ange, and Ange is a maverick, but Ange, as it stands now, I think Ange, even though Tottenham are a wee bit on the downswing because there are zillion injuries, I think Ange is a much, much better manager than Brendan was. I have Ange, even though I think he talks bullshit all the time. I mean, we're like downtrodden and stuff. How he's just lucky to beat Tottenham, mate. I'll have Ange back at Celtic any day rather than Brendan. I just no seen it with Brendan at all. And I mean, obviously I hope and pray we're going to win the league, but I'm just not seeing it with Brendan at all.
And what about the Awata situation? Do you agree that, one, he needs to be in the team as soon as possible, but two, do you reckon there's something going on behind the scenes, or Brendan just doesn't rate him?
Doesn't rate him. I mean, he doesn't rate the Baron and Rocky, and we spent a lot of money in them, and they've completely no involved at all. None of them were on the bench on Saturday. I think we spent about £8 million on about that name. Like, for us, that's a lot of money. I would have him in the team, but I don't think he likes him. But I wouldn't have played him on Saturday because he's another holding midfielder. There was no need to play two holding midfielders at home in Motherwell. It's just old style football, and Brendan seems to revert to that a lot. And I would definitely have a different manager rather than Brendan. Not that I want him to leave. I still think he's the best manager in Scotland. But I mean, what's that saying? Because this is a dire league. And I'm not just throwing all the toys at the pram after the game on Saturday. I mean, we're still clear at the top. But no, I'm just not seeing it with Brendan now.
Would you have been in a worse mood today had Rangers won yesterday?
No, really, no, because the game annoyed me. That annoyed me even more. But, I mean, I think we'll talk about that in a minute. We better talk about the second penalty and the tragicomic end of the game. Good old David Tumble scored. I think he's our top scorer in the league now.
Well, I have to say as well, it was a stonewaller. I don't know why teams persist on pulling jerseys when they know that VAR is going to catch it.
Yes.
Mikey Johnston, by the way, fair play to him for claiming, because he was screaming and bawling about it. If that was anyone else, if that was maybe like Yang or something, I don't think they would have like claimed that or anything. But Mikey Johnston did, and I'll give him his due there. That's probably where the credit ends. But no, David Turnbull took his penalty pretty well. I think Liam Kelly said that after the game as well, that he thought he was just going to go right down the middle. But he said that probably no goalie is going to save that one. And I knew, if there's one thing David Turnbull does very well, hitting a shot for 20 yards are generally penalty kick conversions. They're two of the qualities that he does possess. I did say the guy next to me when that penalty was awarded, Tumble scoring this, and he did, and it was emphatic, and it should have been the winner. And I know as well, let's just skip to the bit where you want to talk about what you texted me as soon as we scored. So on you go.
I want you to mention what I texted you. So after we scored, Motherwell made two subs and brought attacking players on, and what did I text you as soon as they made these subs?
You said we're going to start panicking here,
and that's what happened. We conceded an absolutely needless corner, and then we conceded
one. Was it not McGregor?
It was McGregor. No need to concede it. We conceded a stupid free kick in the Motherwell half in the first place to get the ball away. Then we conceded a needless corner, and then we conceded. It was genuinely a comical goal. I mean, what was Greg Taylor trying? He literally headed up on the ground, doing nothing.
Marking the tallest guy in the box.
Tallest guy in the box, who stooped and headed the ball under the net. There's a photo and Joe Hart with his eyes closed doing a star jump. I mean, the two positions we knew we needed sorted in January and out of the summer, left back and goalkeeper combined for just comic stuff. It was a pathetic goal giveaway. And I mean, we still had a chance at the end where O'Reilly had he did a free header like sort of into the ground, and that was like 10 minutes added. Now imagine if our great rivals, Rangers, imagine if they had a game where they needed a win and they get two penalties in 10 minutes added. All these Celtic blogs that are obsessed with them would have been having a field day and be like, conspiracy.
Well, they did get a penalty, though, right enough, in the last kick of the ball yesterday.
Oh, it was a penalty?
Again, through a defender being
I think football players are stupid. That's what VAR has shown me.
This league is got stupider.
I know, but I mean, what was this Motherwell guy thinking with his jersey pull? What was the Aberdeen player thinking with the jersey
pull? Mikey Johnston wasn't even getting that ball.
I know, I mean, I think these football players at set pieces are absolute morons. And really, they deserve it. I mean, I know people were greeting about the penalty Rangers got yesterday and how we didn't get that one at Ross County. But there was no need for the guy to pull goals in his jersey. It was so stupid. And really, Aberdeen deserved what they got. That was stupid. But no, I mean, I knew as soon as Motherwell made these subs, and I knew they'd attack, and I thought, we are going to panic. We did against St Mirren, when we beat St Mirren 2-1.
The cosh for like 8 minutes.
Yeah, we panicked that game, we got away with it. I thought, we are definitely going to go into panic mode. But I didn't think as soon as I texted they were going to equalise, but they did. And that was just a terrible result. And Rangers drawing, I don't take away from it. Terrible result and a terrible performance. And it just leaves me, I think, with a lot of questions about the Celtic team.
I think the only advantage we have psychologically is that group of players know that no matter how much they slip up, Rangers, under the group of players they've got to now, are never going to be able to take advantage, in my opinion.
Well, actually, at Rangers, when we were talking about the game on Saturday, a Rangers fan says, in a group chat I'm in, a Rangers fan, I says, Rangers are going to be, like, I think Rangers are going to go out and are going to win 4-0, and he went, no chance, we're more likely to beat 4-0. And I say that, you're right, it's typical Rangers fan talking rubbish line. But for what I saw in that game, they were only very good. But it doesn't make me feel, I think they probably still should have won on the balance of play. I had any chances, but that doesn't make me feel any better about Celtic. And I don't know, I think we're walking about a tightrope now. I've got no confidence in this team winning all the games in December. We've got loads of games in December. I've not got any confidence we're going to win them. I think we'll drop points. I think they probably will as well.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I think we'll drop points, but those idiots across the road will as well.
But that doesn't make me feel any better about
ourselves. No, and it's focusing on us as well, but that is the reality we're in, John.
But we kind of keep getting that. Since we beat them at Ibrox, that's twice now we've given them a chances to make points up, and they took it once. Again, when we drew with Hibs, they beat Hearts. So who's to say we're not going to do it again? I mean,
I just hope, John, we can navigate through these games in December, and then it's a real wake-up call to that board that they've got to give Brendan the money to bring in actual quality. I mean, that squad now is about 30-odd players.
It's bloated.
I'd get rid of 10 or 11 of them, and you've got to bring in three genuine quality players. One of the ones where you can actually look at the bench if guys like Kyogo, O'Reilly, or even Carter Vickers are struggling. We're bringing on light-for-light types of players.
And we need to, because of the Asian Cup, we're not going to have any strikers in Hungary. I mean, I think O's going to get picked for South Korea. I think Kyogo's definitely going to get picked. So, as it stands, we're going to have no strikers when we come back after the international break, after the league break. But, I mean, we'll just talk about this. We'll not be that long, listeners, because I know you don't want to hear us moaning again, although they are the better episodes, I think. You were in the press conference after the game. Lucky you. You got to talk to good old Brendan. What did you make? Was there a player there? Or was there not a player there?
No, I left. I'm getting fed up and scurred doing the press conferences anyway. The ones post-match, especially after a result like that, you're not able to say or ask how you really feel, because Celtic just shut you down. And yeah, I hate doing them. The pressers, to me, it's just like that. It's just like fucking House of Commons or something.
More like the press conferences, am I right?
Better after the House of Chris Commons, am I right, John?
There you go. So, great satire there for the two. It's lucky listeners. But yeah, now, I don't always go to the games, as you know. And I did make a vow that I was only going to go if I get free tickets this season. Which the last two games I have got free tickets that I went to.
So you're not going to go to a Rangers game then later on?
But I'm getting a free ticket for that.
So yeah.
No, but I'm going to buy you booze, of course. But no, I think we should talk briefly before we talk about the last game. Better talk about the atmosphere. And everybody knows the Green Brigade isn't at the games, although they were at the game before the game. I mean, and Rod Stewart gave him a wee wave. But I thought the atmosphere was pretty poor. And I mean, really, I think it's put a lot of times the Green Brigade was there, because the only thing you could hear was the Green Brigade. Now the only thing you really hear is not a lot. In fact, that's like when there's a bad decision for the ref, like when Liam Kelly looked to handle the ball outside the box and he dropped mine, he nearly literally,
that's right,
that got the crowd up. So really the only time I think there's noise at the crowd is when the opposition score, or when there's a refereeing decision against us. And we all these penalties we're getting, we don't get refereeing decisions against us. But no, I thought the atmosphere was poor. But then, I think the atmosphere generally is poor. And Celtic weren't doing anything to make it better. The football was tedious stuff. Just boring passing and not being able to break down so many players. And we're going to get that. It's going to be like that on Sunday when we play St Johnston. Craig Levein, the king of boring defensive football, is going to put 9 or 10 men behind the ball and say to Celtic, break us down. And if we don't break them during the first half an hour, I'll be panic stuff.
The pitch will be disgusting as well.
And we'll panic, and it'll just be, God knows what we'll try. I don't know. That shows how down I'm about Celtic now. I'm worried about us playing fucking St Johnson.
I think, I'm not worried about it, but I think with Celtic under Rodgers, I'm struggling to understand the identity and what the philosophies are. Just under Ange, the full-backs knew their jobs. The midfield was dynamic, especially with Fatati in there. And up front, we were so clinical under Ange. I don't think there was a game under Ange, certainly last season, that I can think that we just struggled, like a narrow 1-0. We were always winning fairly comfortably, but we were always creating plenty of chances. We're not doing that under Brendan. I wouldn't say I'm worried about the St Johnston game. You know,
but you can see being a struggle.
I can see why. Yeah, although I can see why. It's just got, for me, it's the entertainment factor. I think we'll win, but it's just going to be a slog, and it's going to be so miserable to watch.
If it ends up being like a turgid 1-0, that's not going to make MD impressed. That's just going to, I think, give people more concerns. We beat Aberdeen 6-0, and we never kicked on. I mean, I know you think a lot of that's because Aberdeen were a joke.
Three goals in injury time.
Yeah, that sort of put a gloss on it. But we're just unable to string together like good performances in a row. And I mean, it seems like if Matt O'Reilly doesn't play well, this team doesn't play well. And he was quiet and sad.
Very.
And I know we've got injuries, but at Celtic, against teams in the Premier League, you can't use it as an excuse. Same with Rangers. I mean, if you're playing Motherwell, they'd love to have the injury problems we've got. Like, players that we can bring in. They'd go probably get in that Motherwell team. Well, maybe not, because their bench is crap. But we kind of use that as an excuse. I mean, Rangers were doing that last season, and I was like, come on, man. We kind of use it as an excuse. We've got more money than any team. We've got the second highest wage bill now, but we've still got more money than all 10 of the other 11 teams put together. We shouldn't be turning in these crap performances.
We always like to gloat about that money in the bank thing.
Exactly. Make hilarious jokes at Rangers getting penalties rather than address their own problems. Good one, Lance. But we're so relying on a couple of players, and if they have off days, we don't win, and that is really bad. We shouldn't have these results. I know people may have gone over the top, but not, for me, that was even worse than St Johnstone.
It will be bad old gig pod here, I'm afraid, because I think you're just looking to go to Celtic games and be entertained and see a quality of play and then Saturday, and not just for the first time this season. We've just been devoid of it.
No, I mean, at least under good old Ange, you know, 99% of the time going to get entertaining football. I mean,
even that game against Ross County last November, the 2-1 went 1-0 down, remember?
I like the ball.
Fatty ran the show, but we were in the half constantly pressing. Like, it was a good second half performance.
I wasn't like, even Hibs. Mind Hibs when O scored
3-1.
That was the same sort of thing. But we've just, I know, I mean, we've really only changed one, we've really only sold two players, Moy and Jota. And I can't believe how much an impact that's had. And the team is still at most of that core, the players won the treble this season. It's just poor. And there we've got Lazio next, so we better talk briefly about the Lazio game on Tuesday.
Do we have to? Any glimmer of hope there? The fact that they've lost more games this season in the league than they've won?
We've got players out, of course. We've not got Ed Eisen, who's obviously injured, but he would be suspended, and we've not got Palmer. And they're big players for us. And I mean, I thought Yang was pretty poor on Saturday. I think he got injured as well. But I think if he's fit, he'll start. James Forrest will probably start. I don't know. I think we're probably going to get beat by a couple as usual in Europe.
I think the big one here is the motivation factor and what the teams have got to play for.
We're technically still in it.
I know, but Lazio will just need a win, and that same through.
Oh, so it is.
So yeah. Lazio, I mean, they'll be so buoyant for that, and I expect him to just to come out flying. So the fact that we've got Maed out and Palm out, who generally have turned up for us in the Champions League this season, coupled with the fact that I don't want to just single players out. Greg Taylor still at left back for us. He's going to be targeted. You see Motherwell, they were targeting Greg Taylor all game. You see a lot of teams in Scotland do it. I mean, we can talk all about Joe Hart all we want. We were even saying last season under Ange, it's a position we need to improve upon and goal. People probably thought we were zealots and just going over the top. Goalkeepers are a very hard position to fill in, you kind of get a replacement goalkeeper, it's very easy. Look at Barkas. You know what I mean? That's all people were saying. Just look at Barkas, it ain't that easy. I'm sorry, but it's a cop-out. We should have been planning on a new goalkeeper this summer. The fact that we've went in with Joe Hart for the Champions League is a major factor in the reason we are where we are. Sorry, I'm saying the Champions League. It's still the old European Cup to me, you know.
Aye. Well, that goal on Saturday was just sad, basically. Greg Taylor's just... words fail me. I mean, he's been a good player for us when you think the way he's came up for Kilmarnock, but this is just a season too far, and I don't think it's doing him any good to be playing every single game, because Burnley boy is the only potential replacement, and obviously Brendan doesn't fancy him. I mean, he brought him on as an attacker, I think, the last time he came on. So no, everybody knew that we needed a left back and a goalie. We didn't sign them, thank you to our wonderful transfer committee, and we're having to bear the brunt of it with our mistakes at the weekend. And they're both play against Lazio, and I'm not looking forward to it at all. Sad, really, but it's their own fault. We've acted like idiots at times, Celtic, and we deserve what we get.
Yeah, just a quick shoot prediction then before we move on then, John, and finish up here. I'm going to say I think we'll score, but I think Lazio will score 3-1 to them.
3-0 Lazio.
Alright, well, see, before we do the outro, thanks to everybody, I guess, that's been loving GigPod Rewind. Hunter's a very complimentary messages left on it on the Instagram account, so thanks to everyone for that.
Yep, and we've enjoyed doing it as well. So we will, this is a promise, and GigPod never lie, we promise that we will get the final part of season 2010-11 out next month. So I know next month's going to be hectic with Celtic games, but we will fit that in as well. As a Christmas treat to the listeners.
You say next month, that's definitely December then?
Yes, that is December, yes.
Right, okay.
We're not in December yet.
I know, suppose we're not. Can't wait till that hits, though, and we've got all these great games to look forward to.
Yes, can't wait to play St Johnstone and Kilmarnock away in successive Sundays. That's not going to be grim at all.
Right, do the outro.
Yes, thank you, Stevie. Thank you, all the listeners, as usual. And you can get us on all the podcast platforms. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on all the other podcast platforms. And the numbers are still going up, correct?
Yes, and you're going to give a wee shout-out to Molly Malone's?
Yes, Molly Malone's, of course. Wonderful pub. Thanks to them, as ever, our sponsors, for letting us do the pod there tonight. And we will be back in Molly Malone's soon. We'll be back before Christmas, I'd say, to give them a Christmas treat for all they've done for us since this season for the pod. But yeah, you know where to get us by now. You can also get Stevie on Instagram at GigPod. No reads or selects for the Lazio game, though, because we don't do that for European games. It's too difficult. It's too sad to date for them. But no, we will be back soon with the next episode. Probably not after the Lazio game, unless we achieve one of our greatest results in European history.
Probably won't have as much wrestling pattern on there next time as well.
No, we won't. We'll leave the biz for another day. But yeah, we'll be back next week, most likely after the St John's game, unless this time tomorrow we're 3-0 up in Rome. Right, so thanks to you for listening. We'll speak to you all soon. Good luck to Celtic in Rome, and hail, hail.
Podcast Network.